Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. Sorry for the suit. I'm generally dressed casually, but I'm doing a professional presentation immediately after this. Today, we're going to talk about health and nutrition. We're going to lead with a story about dietary intake of the flavanols, and in particular, the polyphenolics, and how they could help prevent obesity by changing the way that the system works of burning fat in our body. Interesting study from the Institute of Technology in Japan. However, also important today, there's a very good commentary by Brownston. It is it is something that's close to my heart, and I'm going to share it with you. It asks a question: who should be held accountable for all the mistakes being made, have been made, the unnecessary deaths that could have been prevented, all the mandates have been wrong, scientifically wrong, and no one seems to be willing to say, my fault, mea culpa. So we're going to share that with you. We have other things to share also, and you'll see as we go on. But we always begin with the latest on health and healing. We know we should be having a healthy plant-based diet, but also we know that in cold conditions, brown adipose tissue, or brown fat, generates heat to keep the body warm. Compared with white adipose tissue, the brown tissue has more mitochondria. Now, you know from listening to this program, the mitochondria are the energy factories in our cells, our brain, our heart, our muscles. And as long as your mitochondria are working, and most of the time they are, then you've got plenty of energy. But when you start getting fatigue, viruses can cause that. Herpes 6, Epstein-Barr virus, cytomegalovirus, all these viruses, and of course, the COVID viruses, they can all destroy much of the mitochondria and tissue, and that means you're tired. Also, Lyme's disease can do the same thing. So we need to say we need a healthy mitochondria. And what this is saying is that there's an association between burning calories and the quantity of the phytochemicals in our diet and how these two things intercede and make for a better metabolism of fat. So quite simply, make sure that you're getting exercises, that's good. Caloric restriction is good, meaning don't eat between dinner being finished and breakfast, about 12 hours ideally. 15 hours is even better. And then also make sure that you're eating a healthy plant-based diet on a daily basis, getting lots of healthy fibers and lots of water. That way you'll burn fat, you'll burn more brown fat, you'll reduce adipose tissue, body mass index, your bellies will become smaller, your hips and thighs smaller, and that's going to allow you to live a longer life. Also, something that we should talk more about, and I'm glad the University of California at Los Angeles did this study, UCLA, they found that discrimination in any area increases the risk for mental health issues in young adults. Now, historically, we have always had discrimination. When the Italian Americans came to this country, when the Italians became Italian Americans, they lived in ghettos down in the south part of Manhattan. When the Germans, same thing. When the Irish, really bad for the Irish. And of course, we all know about the Africans who came here and how much discrimination they had. What that did, it created issues. Now, depending upon the parenting, depending upon how realistic they were about how to survive and inhospitable environments until they were able to be accepted and brought into the melting pot and given opportunities that they were restricted in when they first came, sometimes for hundreds of years. That all impacts the mental health of young people. Now, that's also true today. So let's just say that you're not one of the in people in a classroom. You're from another culture. Maybe you're South Korean. Maybe you're Indian. Maybe you're from Korea, South Korea. Then if you're discriminated against, and that certainly happens, not just in high schools, but also in colleges, then that can impact your mental health. Now, we know of how many people have been discriminated against, not numbers, but we know groups, and that's still happening today. So a UCLA study found that young adults who have experienced discrimination have a higher risk of both short and long-term behavior and mental health problems. That's one of the reasons some people, not all, not even the majority, act out later in life. And that's unfortunate. So we should be having, realistically, we should be having centers in every community in America that helps people for free deal with the issues that have not been resolved in their life so they can proceed through life and have an opportunity to benefit as other people who have not been discriminated against have also benefited. It's just the right thing to do. And that's important. Next up, Safron, S-A-F-F-R-O-N, is a safe and effective treatment for postpartum depression. Now, I want to tell you, saffron rice is a delicious rice, very aromatic, different than any other kind of rice. And I generally use Spanish rice and saffron in it. Doesn't take a lot of saffron. And then I will mix in maybe different peas and carrots, corn, and make myself a delicious dish. Now, I'm doing it because it just tastes great. But there's a lot of health benefits to saffron as well. And according to the Mashhad University of Medical Sciences, publishing the peer Phytomedicine, the results of a clinical trial on saffron showed that it treated mothers suffering from postpartum depression. And saffron stigma are the it's the crimson colored threads that are produced by the flowers of the Crocus sativus plant. And it's delicious. The saffron is also used in dyes, but it really helped the mothers of the people who were pregnant not suffer from depression. And the results show that saffron experienced 96% remission. Let me repeat that. 96% remission from postpartum depression. That's more than double the placebo group. Now, regular exercise reduces the risk of death from pneumonia. How about that? University of Bristol, yes. So people who exercise regularly can reduce their risk of developing and dying from pneumonia. And the study led by the University of Bristol and published in Geroscience analyzed the first time a group of people in a cohort study, and this is with over 1 million participants, and the study found that those who exercised regularly had a much lower risk of developing pneumonia, pneumonia-related deaths, compared to those who were least able to be physically fit. Good information. A daily dose of yogurt could be the go-to food to manage high blood pressure. Now, we know that garlic helps high blood pressure. We know that there are many other nutrients do. Vitamin C does, and onions do, and de-stressing does. De-stress, stress will really cause your blood pressure to spike up. But the University of South Australia and the University of Maine found that one serving of yogurt, that's a cup is a serving, as a snack, gave you a daily dose of the nutrients necessary to lower your blood pressure. That is terrific. All right, so have your yogurt, and I believe it's because of the probiotics. Now, if you can lower your blood pressure, then you're lowering a cardiovascular risk factor, and that is important. So I believe that you could have a dairy-free yogurt with probiotics, and that would also help you. Just good information. Also, infrared saunas can help remove heavy metals and prevent cancer. University of Munich. Yes, now I have an infrared sauna. I set it up in my gym, and when the weather's cold, I take it every day for 20 minutes at about 130 degrees. And it's really invigorating, and it helps purge the body of heavy metals. It's great for your blood pressure and healthy heart. It's a great detoxifier. Also helps kill viruses. Anyone who has the very first symptoms of COVID, I would recommend absolutely, or the flu, or a cold, getting yourself into a sauna. And also getting yourself into a hyperbaric oxygen tank or breathing oxygen. Anyhow, the research shows that heat therapy via infrared saunas activates natural killer cells, T cells, and macrophages, the body's natural cancer-fighting defense troop. And raising body heat can speed the death of tumors, as well as helping clear the body of carcinogens that contributed to their formation in the first place. So hyperthermia, or heat therapy, is acknowledged by the American Cancer Society as very important way to improve cancer treatment, while the National Cancer Institute reports that heat therapy has been shown to reduce tumor size in some cases. And this was published in The Lancet Oncology. So one more good thing to do. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to hear a commentary from Jeffrey Tucker, and this is very important. Thank you, Jeffrey. It's a brilliant commentary, simple but to the point. It's entitled, Who Will Be Held Responsible for This Devastation? I will also be sharing some comments I have in my own commentary on this topic. Let's see if it aligns in any way with what you have experienced up to this point. And to all the people around the world watching this, thank you. Just want to take a second here also, because for going on 46 years, we're looking at the 50-year, half-century mark, I've been a part of Pacifica, 36 years on PFW in Washington, D.C. Great group of people there, Lou Hinkins, phenomenal manager, and Tiffany and all the others, and I quit. Because I didn't feel the station was honoring its pledges repeatedly. But it was a still wonderful 36 years, 33 years, every Wednesday for 6 hours on KPFK, joined by Roy of Hollywood, wonderful human being. And he's been playing the program since, by the way. I just don't do any fund drives because of politics of the station and the attacking of hosts and attacking health and nutrition. And I just said, we're the number one fundraiser, the largest audience. We've been that way for 33 years. So why would you want to attack the very people that caused this station to exist? Anyhow, I say goodbye, and I'm on BAI. So why am I on BAI? Because BAI is a voice for the voiceless. It represents a broad spectrum of individuals who've committed themselves as volunteers to bring what they have as an asset to the people. And these are generally very small audiences where the mainstream media, and having been on mainstream media for over 45 years, I can tell you that they care about numbers, the size of your audience and demographics. They don't care about old people, they care about young people. Now being number one in all of America on Sunday night of all 5,000 radio stations on ABC, I can tell you that they look at numbers. WR did the same, and WEVD. I was on between EVD and WR, EVD and WMCA and ABC. That was 33 years. Wonderful experiences, by the way. But if you were a small group of people who had needs, the programming wasn't there for you. So that's why BAI exists, to provide quality programming for different groups, a lot of it community-based, and therefore serving your community. That's why I'm here. That's why I continue to broadcast on WBAI and support it. And so why don't you do this? Why don't you become a BAI buddy? Why don't you contact the station? They've got a website, WBAI, and call in and say, yeah, I'll give $20 a month to help pay the bills. Now they're right now in the midst of a fund drive to get money to pay for their transponder, where they broadcast, the signal goes out, and they owe a lot of money. So if anybody out there has extra money that would help to pay that bill down, $100, any amount will help. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it's easy to find by going to BAI. Okay? I'm going to share a commentary by Jeffrey A. Tucker. See if you agree with what he has to say, and I'll add in my own thoughts. Quote, if the pandemic policy response has taken the form of mere advice, we would not be in the midst of this social, economic, cultural, and political disaster. What caused the wreckage was the application of political force that was baked into the pandemic's response, this time in a way that has no precedent in human history. The response relied upon compulsive, imposed by all levels of government and policies. The policies in turn energized a populist movement, COVID Red Guard, that became a civilian enforcement arm. The policed group would go to grocery stores and walk up and down the aisles to upbraid the maskless. Drones swamped the skies looking for parties to rat out and shut down. A bloodlust against the non-compliers, the unvaxxed, came to be unleashed on all levels of society. Lockdowns granted some people meaning and purpose, the way war does for some people. The compulsion to bludgeon others trickled down from government to people. Madness overtook rationality. Once this took place, there was no longer a question of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. The mania to suppress the virus was, by ending person-to-person contact, extended 2 years. This happened in the United States and all over the world. The madness achieved nothing positive because the virus paid no attention to the edicts and enforcers. Ending social and economic functioning, however, shattered lives in countless ways and continues to do so. It is precisely because so much about life and science is uncertain that civilized societies operate on the presumption of the freedom to choose, a policy of humility. No one possesses enough expertise to presume the right to restrict other people's peaceful actions. But with lockdowns and the successor policy that is in place of vaccine mandates, then humanity has lost a lot. And those in power have gained an astounding arrogance. The people who did this to us and the billions of people around the world were so darn sure of themselves, they would take recourse to police state tactics to realize their goals, none of which came to be acceptable and real. Someone wrote the edicts at someone, and someone imposed the orders. Those somebodies should be the people who should own the results, compensate the victims, and otherwise accept the consequence for what they have done. Who are they? Where are they? Why haven't they stepped up? If you're going to force people to behave a certain way, to close their businesses, kick people out of their homes, stay away from meetings, cancel vacations, physically separate everybody, you have to be damn certain that it is the right thing to do. If the people who did this were so sure of themselves, why are they so shy to take responsibility? The question is pressing: who precisely bears the blame? Not just in general, but more precisely, who was willing to step up from the beginning to act? All right, to act and then say, but this doesn't work. I accept full responsibility. I did this and stand by it. Or, you know, they did this and are very sorry. Nobody's saying they're sorry. So far as I know, No one has said anything like this. Instead, what we have is a big jumble mess of bureaucrats, committees, reports, and unsigned orders. There are certain systems in place that seem structured in a way to make it impossible to find out who precisely is responsible for their design and implementation. For example, a friend of mine was being harassed by his school for not being vaccinated. He wanted to speak to a person who imposed the rule. In his investigation, everyone passed the buck. The person put together a committee, which then agreed on best practices left over from some other printed guidelines and guidances approved by another committee, which had been implemented by a similar institution on another matter. So this was then adopted by a different division and passed on to another committee for implementation as a recommendation, and then it was issued by another division entirely. Incredibly, throughout the whole investigation, he failed to find a single person who was willing to step up and say, I did this, and it was my decision. Everyone had an alibi. It became one big mush, a bureaucracy with no accountability, a tub of dough in which every bad actor pre-built a hiding place. Yeah, it's the same with many people who've been disemployed for refusing to divulge their vaccine status. The bosses typically say that they are sorry for what happened. If it had been up to them, the person would continue to work. Their bosses in turn demur and blame some other policy or committee. No one is willing to speak to the victims and say, I did this and I stand by it. Like millions of others, I've been harmed materially by pandemic response. My story lacks drama and is nothing remotely close to what others have experienced, but it is salient because it is personal. I was invited to join in a live studio appearance on television, but then was refused because I refused to divulge my vaccine status. I was sent to a separate studio reserved for the unclean, where I sat by myself. The person informed me, said the policy was stupid, and he objected, but it is the company policy. Maybe he can speak to his boss. Oh, he is against this stuff too, he told me. Everyone thinks it's dumb. Who then is responsible? The buck is always passed on and up till the chain of command, but nobody will accept the blame and bear the consequences, even though the courts have repeatedly shot down the vaccine mandates. There is universal consensus that vaccines, while perhaps offering some private benefits, are not contributing to stopping infection or spread, which is to say, the only person who might suffer from being unvaccinated is the unvaccinated himself. And yet still, people are losing their jobs, missing out on the public life, being segregated and blocked, and otherwise paying a heavy price for not complying. And yet there are still people who are intensifying the blame game that blames not government, not public health authorities, not anyone in particular, but rather a whole class of people, the evil unvaccinated. I'm furious at the unvaccinated, they say. And even Charles Blow of the New York Times said that this is the unvaccinated are responsible and that they're the problem. How precisely are the unvaccinated the problem? Because, he writes, because it is possible to control the virus and mitigate the spread if everyone were vaccinated. Well, this is patently not true. Not true. As every week we're seeing in the very vaccinated outbreaks. In fact, look at Singapore, Gibraltar, and Israel, the most highly vaxxed in the world, and yet they have the highest amount of people going to hospital who are vaxxed and dying who are vaxxed and spreading to the unvaxxed and others who are vaxxed. So the entire policy is wrong. So we've switched from the Zoom live streaming because to take calls I can't use both systems at this moment. We'll figure that out in the future. However, I'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about being treated like a second-class pariah? The whole idea that we should now have apartheid of the vaxxed in America? And it's becoming very draconian. Look around the world, and I'll take you to some of those places shortly to show you that in Australia, in Austria, it's virtually a police state. And now they're in Austria, if you don't get vaxxed, if you choose not to be vaxxed, they're charging you a $13,000 fine each year that you're not vaxxed. Also, if you have to have the COVID booster shots and you don't get them, then your previous status is negated. So even if you've gotten your two vaccines, are they showing you any science? Let me ask you this. We have a lot of erudite and educated people in sciences and medicine on the listening to this program. How many articles can you find right now on PubMed that shows you that if you've been doubly vaccinated, getting another vaccine will not harm your immune system? They're going to say, well, it's going to confer another, let's say, 3 months of some protection. Can you still be infected? Yes. Can you spread the infection? Yes. So if you can still get the virus and spread the virus and all the other forms of it, then what is the good of having one group allowed who've been vaccinated when they can continue to spread the virus? Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. Also, what about the studies, which I have, that shows what happens when you overstimulate a person's immune system to where they can't turn off 24/7 the antibodies their desperate body's producing against the spike protein? At what point does the entire body's immune system collapse and the person dies of infection or organ failures? That is happening now in a lot of places. What are your thoughts on this? Everything they've told us has been a lie. They included massive amounts of deaths from other diseases, heart disease, emphysema, cancers, even people in hospice care, car wrecks, anything as COVID. Had they not done that, then we would not have had the numbers to justify a pandemic, let alone an epidemic. What if they've used accurate testing instead of the fraudulent PCR test? Then we wouldn't have had false positives. We would have just had positive or negative, and that wouldn't have reached the level of a pandemic, since the vast majority of people who have been positive have not gotten sick, and those who've had the virus have overcome it. Therefore, you're left with a relatively limited group of senior citizens with comorbidities, who are the ones who should be dealt with in a positive and constructive way, but we're not getting that. I'd like to hear your feedback. And until we get, and you can call us at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I also haven't given some numbers in a long period of time that would remind people to how to listen on the archives, how to download the programs, and I'll give you those shortly. So just get a notepad so that you can write them, because I always want you to be able to reach out and get information, either live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, Tuesday for the Progressive Commentary Hour. And by the way, on the Progressive Commentary Hour tonight, we're going to have an interview that was done by Epoch Times editor and one of the most brilliant MD, PhDs, scientists, world-renowned in both oncology and epidemiology in the world, published over, I think, 300 peer-reviewed journals, a top tenured professor at Yale University, no controversy at all in his whole history, top of the food chain. And yet, he saw as an epidemiologist something was wrong when he started looking at the supposed deaths from COVID versus overall deaths versus death from the flu. Suddenly we have no one in America, no one in the world dying of the flu. Isn't that a miracle? Normally it's anywhere from 30 to 60, 70,000 a year, just in the United States. Suddenly no one's dying of the flu. And yet no one in the mainstream media decided that was important. Could it be, coincidence, they took all the people dying of the flu and now made them COVID? We don't have to be a scientist to figure that one out. And all the other things they've told us to do. Why don't you try to find the peer-reviewed quality literature showing you the masks that most people wear, right up to the N95, actually prevent the COVID virus from penetrating? find the virus, find the virus's ability to get through a mask. It's there. I have one of those studies also. I'll be sharing that on an upcoming program. So they've been giving us all kinds of mandates without science, real science backing them up. What are your thoughts? 888-874-4888. Now, before we go there, I want to bring you up on a few other issues in a wide variety of areas so that we're up to date on other things as well. For example, Japan places myocarditis warnings on all vaccines. And also they're requiring informed consent. Good for them, because Japan is announcing that public and private sectors cannot discriminate against those who refuse the experimental RNA gene therapy. Mind you, it is not a vaccine. It does not meet the criteria for being a legitimate vaccine. It is a gene therapy. But also, when was the last time you asked your doctor, nurse, pharmacist, or anyone else giving you a vaccine, could you please show me the manufacturer's insert with the actual ingredients in the vaccine? Shouldn't I know what's going in there? Or should I trust you? Oh, we trusted you with weapons of mass destruction, Vietnam, Libya, Syria, the White Helmets. We trusted you. You lied about all of them and 1,000 other things. No, we don't trust you. No one trusts you. You're not trustworthy. You're pathologically lying about everything. If you're a government agent, you know, look at the CIA, look at the National Security Agency. They were proven to lie before Congress. They weren't charged with anything. That's the government we have. So thank goodness for Japan saying, yeah, myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart, which can be permanent. And that means a lot of people are dying. So how do we know? No media, no government is acknowledging anyone young dying. Well, we did the homework and we have videos and people are flooding us with videos, flooding us. They're going to prnstudio@gmail.com, prnstudio@gmail.com, and they're sending us videos and statements. But there's also just one website that has 1,000+ people who've been injured, including medical doctors and nurses. And yet they don't exist. They're invisible. Wow. How clever is that? So now ask, give me the list of all the ingredients in the vaccine and give me a list of all the side effects. And don't take a vaccine unless you have that kind of information. Then to take the vaccine, if you choose, that's your business, that's your choice. I will not tell you not to. I believe in freedom of choice. Okay? And if you've already gotten the virus, ask them to show you the science that if you have natural immunity, and there's over 120 studies showing you have a super immune system. Now let them show you the science that your natural immunity is of no value. And therefore, as Fauci says, everybody has to get vaccinated if they've had the virus. Then let them show you the studies where they've taken people who've had natural immunity, who've had the virus, got it out of their system, and are now super protected, and then adding in a vaccine would not harm them. Show me the safety study that if you get vaccinated after having natural immunity, you're not harmed. They can't, they don't have the studies, but they're absolutely insistent they're right on giving it to you. Wow, there's a special kind of denial out there. So anyhow, Japan's doing the right thing. Good for them. Japan is now labeling COVID vaccines to warn of dangerous and potentially deadly side effects such as myocarditis. In addition, the country is reaffirming its commitment to adverse event reporting requirements to ensure all possible side effects are documented. In the United States, the CDC, corrupt little perverted organization it is, worthless, stupid people working there. I can't tell you how much contempt I have for them. Read my article on them, all right? Everything's documented. And you trust them? Yeah, real smart. Anyhow, don't trust what they say because they lie. Also, there's the growing specter of compulsory vaccination everywhere now. And it's discriminating against all people who have their own legitimate reason for choosing not to vaccinate with this particular therapy. And the Chancellor of Austria, Alexander Schallenberg, announced at a press conference that beginning February 1st, COVID vaccination will be compulsory for everyone in Austria over 12 years of age. If you choose not to, well, first they'll fine you $4,000. and then it goes up and up and up. So, Greece, yeah, Prime Minister there has stated that compulsory vaccination will begin January 16th, and for everyone over 60, and if you refuse to, you again will be fined. Germany, well, what can I say? It's Germany. Germany's position next to mandate COVID-19 for everyone, and so there'll be penalties if you don't, in irrespective of the science. And also, here's the latest, and this is from Public Health Scotland, an official government report, that there's a huge increase in cases of ovarian cancer and deaths of newborn babies have hit the critical levels from the COVID vaccines. Do you know about that? You wouldn't. Have you heard of Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg, W-O-D-A-R-G, a medical doctor, epidemiologist, member of the Bundestag, which is the German federal parliament, and talking about this, but nobody wants to hear that. All right, so, and why don't you read the report by Dr. Thomas Binder, B-I-N-D-E-R. He's a cardiologist, board certified. He's a member of the Doctors for COVID Ethics, and he's written many articles, and every single argument you can put up about how to challenge COVID, he'll give you a counterbalancing argument. Isn't that what where freedom of speech is? To be able to have reasonable, responsible dialogue and debate, not to censor people and to cancel people. But that's what's being done. Who's behind all this? Well, I'll tell you, one group's behind it, or those group who continue to advocate for the woke philosophy being implemented in every aspect of our medical programs in the United States, especially with COVID. And, oh, but wait, did anyone from COVID and anyone from woke take a look at the latest report just out this week from the Oregon Health and Science University? Quote, evidence review reveals little, if any, clinical benefit to drugs that cost Medicare hundreds of millions of dollars a year annually. And what they say, and this was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Internal Medicine, it says that drugs that can be very expensive, quote, Acthar carries a current price tag of $40,000 for 5-millimeter vial for any units per millimeter, depending upon the dose. A typical course of therapy would run you $100,000 or $100 or less for generic oral corticosteroids for the same condition. Gee whiz. So if you want to take Acthar for a year, it's $318,000. I repeat, $318,000. But according to this report, you could get the same thing for about $300 or less. And this Oregon Health and Science University, which means Big Pharma, which controls the network and controls the ads, they only want you going for the big dollar item. But what if a big dollar item doesn't work? Well, what if paying all that money for a drug doesn't give us any benefit? We're just paying for profit. That's all it is. Well, now think about remdesivir, very expensive, and think about ivermectin, pennies per dose, pennies, under a dime, under 10 cents for 3 milligrams. Now compare the critical care that you get when you're in a hospital that can go over $200,000 versus starting the protocols at home with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, oxygen therapy, vitamin C, zinc, quercetin, et cetera, that are all in use and have been in use from the beginning, saving lives so those people don't go to the therapy and aren't then getting the expensive drugs. So that's just the latest let you know that there's been a scam and a scheme going nonstop in every part of medicine. And just remember, Japan keeps things rather quiet, and it's the big drop-off in all their COVID cases since they started allowing all their medical community to prescribe ivermectin. Now, there are hundreds of scientists and physicians coming forward and saying, don't you dare vaccinate children. They're not at risk. They're not dying from COVID. and you could put them at risk. And sure enough, they're dying from the COVID vaccines. They're dying of heart attacks and strokes and blood clots. And when they did an autopsy on one young person, an athlete, his whole brain was filled with microclots. So we're willing to sacrifice children and young people for the profits of a pharmaceutical company by a megalomaniac who heads all this, and Bill Gates. I don't even have a term for Bill Gates. Nothing. Actually, every term I have is too gentle to describe this so-called expert. No, he's a college dropout. He had an interest in computers, and nothing else has he mastered in life. Certainly not having a healthy relationship with the truth. But there he is, not challenged, not criticized. So let's see who's on the line, and let's say hello to them. Frank from Manhattan. Frank, your turn.
Gary, Pearson Sharp from One America News. He's the one that exposed that in September 19, Fauci had the meeting and said, well, this could come out through China. He now says that they changed the legal definition of a vaccine sometime this year during this pandemic to fit the definition of mRNA gene therapy. The other thing I wanted to say is it true that you cannot give blood if you've had a vaccine?
I'm not aware of what the Red Cross or any blood bank's criteria are. I have not looked at that, so I can't give you an honest answer. All right?
Thank you, Gary.
Call the American Red Cross or go up online and see for yourself. Remember, I was the one who blew the whistle back in 1984 about the blood banks allowing people who had herpes, six, HIV, and other conditions to get blood. It was later stopped, but not before. An awful lot of people were infected, including hemophiliacs with factor VIII. Separate story. Go back and read the old articles I wrote on this. So I don't trust the American Red Cross anyhow. Let's say hello to Lorraine from New Jersey. Hi, Lorraine. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. I wanted to find out from the beginning when all this started to happen, all these people that have died, I mean, it's just crazy. And I keep saying, but who is going to be responsible? Nobody seems like they're ever going to, stand up and take responsibility, because if they want to close books, you had, for 55 years, now with 75 years, so they really feel everybody be dead by then and whatnot. And what bothers me, but these people keep rolling up their sleeves, getting this vaccine, and they don't hear all these people are dying and all these things that's going on, and they just keep on and on. I don't know. I don't feel sorry for them, because once you know something is going on, you can't be trusted. Once you find out that the people are not trustworthy and not giving you the correct information that you're supposed to get, why would you keep trusting them?
Okay, I agree with everything you said, except I don't feel sorry for them. I do. Because let's reverse it and open your argument up a little bit. Let more light into it. First, how many Americans are so conditioned that they believe their leaders, they believe the head of their church or synagogue, their mosque, and will not question them? Now, I happen to be very close friends with one of the leaders, if not the primary leader, of the Muslim community in the New York, New Jersey area. And we've had many conversations on the line that you should not cross to take responsibility for a person's choices in life. And yet, evangelicals and other people, they almost look for how much control they can have over people. And there's a problem if someone should step over that line, giving information, even with the best of intent, that ends up being wrong. Then you also have conditioning. If the people that we always defer to, the medical doctor, where I grew up, everybody smoked. I'm lucky to be alive, because in my family, there was 10 packs of cigarettes a day, smoked every day, 7 days a week in my home. I didn't smoke, but I was exposed to all that secondhand smoke. And only because I didn't smoke myself and changed my habits later was I able to undo some of that damage. But think of all the people that today smoke and drink because that's what they were conditioned. So we have to take in conditioning. We have to take in familial input, educational input. When you start looking at all the influencers, the people we look forward to hearing from, what if they're wrong? Then that means whatever we do will be wrong. So before we in any way make someone feel bad about the choice they make, put yourself in their shoes. What if you've been taught, conditioned, indoctrinated as they were? What would your outcome be now that you've been vaccinated and you think, oh my goodness, I've got these side effects? Do you not realize that all the people that I have talked with and all the people who are singing over little videos to prnstudio at gmail.com, these are people who believed in something beyond themselves? Because growing up, we pride ourselves on our individuality in America, and we don't have a lot of individuality. That's been a myth. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to do a commentary. You don't want to miss my commentary, Mark, because I'm taking the woke culture to task. I'm taking our current political system to task. I'm taking our educational system. I'm going back and showing you what happened with Mao and when Mao's wife and the group of four who led China's Cultural Revolution caused so much death, so much destruction, how they in turn were then turned upon by the proletariat, the people who finally had enough. I will even take you back to show you how Robespierre was dealt with, but it didn't happen when he was causing the guillotine to be the last thing someone would experience in their lifetime. There is a turning point. We're coming to it, Lorraine. So instead of being disappointed in people not making the right choice, be understanding that you're now a cipher of good information and share it with them. Help them try to get back their health from having the vaccine. And there's lots of protocols to it. I did a whole webinar, how to deal with COVID, even if you've been vaccinated. Send them there so they can get all the information. All right, so we got to help people, because what's going to happen next is this, or what I believe will happen. There's going to be a great reset, but not what you think. The Great Reset's crowd has overreached itself. It has gone too far. It wants to eliminate all currencies. It wants to make sure everyone's vaccinated in the world and have an ID card. It starts off as a vaccine card, but then it becomes an information card. They're using transhumanism science. I've gone into that in depth. I've even had the people at one demonstration were so bold to talk about how they've weaponized it also. They're not hiding. They don't have to. They control everything. When you control everything that could possibly happen to you, when you're identified from any responsibilities for your mistakes, that's when a lot of mistakes are going to happen. And that's what we're seeing. So now I believe that there will be a time in the near future, I'm going to deal with this tomorrow, when the authoritarians, which is they're there to censor, compel, threaten, intimidate, and dole out all of our punishments in the most arbitrary and capricious and terrifying manner, they act as if they're nobility, royalty. And this includes some of the dingbat celebrities. Then what happens is those of us who have been victimized, at one point we will hit critical mass. At one point we will have enough collective psychic pain, not necessarily physical pain. Physical pain will lead to the psychic pain where we realize, my God, I've trusted you. I paid my taxes, and you waste the money. You give it to your friends. Every temporary agency becomes permanent. You lie about everything. You have no honor. You have no decency. You're a politician. You're a piece of all of them. So then we start realizing, why did I stay silent? Because you were conditioned to be obedient, and you honored that conditioning. But then we're going to break that conditioning. We're going to agree that we are going to disagree. And we're going to go after the fascists. The fascists are those in power who use their power to control us. So it's coming. It's just a matter of when. For example, King John understood the idea, the principle of force and will, the domination that he had. That was 800 years ago when he led to the signing of the Magna Carta at Runnymede. And that changed everything. Why? Because that forbid those in power, like an emperor or a king or queen, to have absolute unchallenged authority. They could not do that any longer. So there was a right of people to protest. So the hypnotic control that authority figures have had over our thoughts and actions are going to be challenged, and that will change their power over us. Remember, power is an illusion. It only exists when you voluntarily or submissively give your power to another and make decisions over your life. And I think that's important. After all, what would have happened had he decided at the last moment, let's do this differently, because I'm looking down at the road and I'm seeing if I give up all this power, everyone after me is going to have no power. And so then the peasant's going to become a populace, is going to become self-empowered, and I don't want that. Well, what about the Stamp Act? All right, the Stamp Act followed the French and the Indian Wars to recoup the money that the British had laid out. And so they wanted to penalize the colonists for this. And that's when they said, what was said? What was the famous statement that led to the beginning, the progenitor of the Revolutionary War? No taxation without representation. Now you can say, well, rallying cries don't mean anything. All that did, that led to our war for independence. All right? And what about if Kaiser Wilhelm had not had a battle with his third cousin, Nicholas II of Russia, complete dimwit? I wrote a book on him, and to show you how stupid he was and what all this caused. Nikolai Nikolaevich was his uncle, and he just followed the orders, but they were all wrong orders. Why? What can you say started it? Was it the assassination of Austrian Archduke Franz Ferdinand? What caused it? Everyone's got an excuse. But what it could have done had it not started off between two powerful people is we would not have had World War I. If we hadn't had World War I, then we wouldn't have had the rise of a nitwit Hitler and getting the people to blame the bankers. And by bankers, then after 1925, his book Mein Kampf. We've got our own Mein Kampf today. We've got the most racist screed ever in the 21st century. Hitler's 20th century, this one on white fragility. I have requested Beverly D'Angelo to come on the program and debate me. You can bring 20 other people if you need an extra brain, but just debate me. I want to show the world what kind of racist screed it is, and unfortunately it's being used everywhere. In schools, colleges, university, by the liberal community, is not the real liberal community. The real liberal community would distance themselves from this nonsense. But what are the consequences once you start something? What happens when you run up to someone and you sucker punch them in the face and laugh? What happens if that person happens to get up off the ground? No, we're facing techno-fascist, racist. We're facing the people who despise us. For what? What did we do to deserve their canceling and discrimination against us? Well, it's about time that the ruling class had a come-to-Jesus moment. And there's about 200 million Americans who are saying, enough, enough of all this crap. All right? And that is when you will see people making more intelligent decisions, not just about vaccines, but about everything else in their life that's important. They're going to take back that power. Then the information you have and everyone else in this audience and sharing that in documentaries and sharing real science, real health, real nutrition, real health care, and real environmental activism, that's when it'll kick in. And we're not far away. I suggest within 24 months. I'll explain more on that in my commentary tomorrow. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And we're going to take a break. No, I look at the program. We're going to say goodbye to WBI, but we have 5 more minutes to go to the top of the air, and I'd like to take more calls for those two. Jeff from Portland, Oregon. Nice to have you on. Jeff, it's your turn.
Oh, Gary, Portland, Maine. How you doing?
Good.
Portland, Maine. Yeah, can you elaborate on the CDC financial connection to Moderna, Pfizer, and the vaccine producers?
Because hold on one second. The entire connection with patents, sharing patents, owning patents, Anthony Fauci owning patents, all of this, the funding of the pharmaceutical company using taxpayer money to pay for the research that these companies do on a vaccine, then guaranteeing buying back billions of dollars with a vaccine, holding them harmless if their vaccines injure or kill anyone, and not touching their profits under any circumstances, letting them, the pharmaceutical company, write the contracts with governments all over the world, so punitive that in a couple cases in South America and a lot of other places where they said no to the vaccine, it wasn't they said no to the vaccine. They wanted to vaccinate their people, but the company that would make the vaccine said, if you don't pay us, if you're sued, if there's any litigation and any judgments occur, you must guarantee that we have assets, your sovereign assets. Let's say if you own an embassy, we want the embassy building in its title. If you have a navy, we want the ships. If you have all these assets that a country has, should be held in escrow for any potential future litigation. And that's insane. The public doesn't know that. None of the major media has dared to report it. It's all in the article I wrote. Read the article on Moderna, read the article on Johnson & Johnson, read the article on the CDC, read the article on the World Health Organization, read the article on the FDA. Now you do your homework, all right? Because I've done all the work and all the scholarship to give you the information you need to make intelligent choices and share it with others. Any other calls? If we do, we will be happy to bring you on. I think we have one more call coming in here. By the way, let me... Okay. And also, there's a really brilliant commentary by Dr. Thomas Binder, B-I-N-D-E-R, in the current issue of Global Research. Let me just spend 2 minutes reading just the introduction to it. He says, I studied medicine at the University of Zurich, obtained a doctorate in immunology and virology, specialized in internal medicine and cardiology, board certified, 33 years of experience in diagnosing and treating acute respiratory infections in hospitals and intensive care units, and 23 years in my medical practice. And then he says, in February 2020, I sat in my office and was amazed. What I had learned in medical school during my scientific training and in my practice of medicine was suddenly turned upside down. Anyone who felt even a sore throat no longer treated himself to visit his or her general practitioner only if the symptoms got worse, but ran to the nearest hospital with a request to be tested immediately and with the fear of perhaps having to die, and not only having to die, but perhaps of having to suffocate miserably. Worldwide, the prevailing corona narrative was established in a very short period of time. At the same time, humanity was divided into its supporters and opponents. To such an extent, a division of the society we have never experienced before. It divides friendships, families, and even partnerships. Such a division is always an expression of the fact that a large part of humanity is not living in reality, but is caught up in a context of delusion imposed by a handful of psychopaths and their many narcissistic lackeys. In such a situation, we must always ask ourselves first, am I a realist or in fact a totally deluded one? This question can only be answered by looking at reality as soberly as possible. It is my duty as a doctor to treat my patients to the best of my knowledge. This includes to inform them about their disease in a way that lay people can understand and make informed decisions about what to do. And he goes on, and he just completely decimates the PCR testing, and he goes through each one of these things that we have done, showing that it is not good medicine, it is not good science. He is both a medical doctor, he is a scientist. It's rare to have those two combinations, but he challenges the whole establishment that puts himself at risk now of being canceled. All right, and by the way, there's one good new medical news. This is from Aris University. quote, researchers from Aris University have shown that the medicine, and I'll spell it for you, write it down, A-T-O-V-A-Q-U-O-N-E, has a protective effect both before and after infection for the coronavirus in human cells in the laboratory. This means it can, all, in all probability, be used both for the prevention and treatment of COVID-19. So, one more piece of the puzzle. And that's what we're looking at. Now, let's hope that the studies behind it, just like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, are shown to support that. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for listening and sharing your thoughts. Have a nice day.